Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impoga, and this evening we'll talk about Uganda's general elections. And with us tonight is my colleague Sande Shumari of VOA Swahili Service. He joins us by phone from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. We still have a technical problem with him. So we also have Charles Mwangu here. Charles is the communication director of the Citizen Coalition for Electoral Democracy in Uganda. Good evening, Charles.
Good evening, Douglas.
How are you doing today?
We're doing well. We've been voting.
I see. That's very good.
Yes.
And we also have Suleiman Mugula, who is joining us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, the listeners, and good evening, Charles.
You're welcome to the show.
Good evening, Suleiman. I haven't heard from you in a very long time.
Good evening. Pleasure to hear you, especially after voting. Sure.
Yes. What a day to meet on as than voting day. Yes. Well, as I said, today's was Uganda held their general election, and amid late delivery of voting materials in some areas, Ugandans tried to cast ballots on Thursday in presidential and parliamentary elections, with the tempers sometimes boiling over. A top international election observer called the delays worrying, while the main opposition party said they were deliberate, aimed at favoring President Yoweri Museveni. Museveni faced a strong challenge from Kizza Besigye, who has called Museveni a dictator, and said he doubts that voting will be free and fair. So let's start from there, Charles. First of all, you voted. How was your voting experience today?
My personal voting experience went very smoothly. I drove 300 kilometers outside of Kampala to Fort Poto Town, just by the slopes of the mountains of the Moon or Mount Rwenzori, to cast my ballot. And that part of the country had a smooth process. Balloting opened on time. Polling started at exactly 7 a.m. And by the time I arrived in that town, after about a four-hour drive from Kampala, the queue wasn't very long. That is not to represent what happened in the rest of Fort Poto Town. There are places where the queues were quite long, but largely it moved peacefully.
It appears, Charles, that there are most problems in urban centers. And was that your feeling?
Well, Kampala can simply be described as having been chaotic from beginning, because people started queuing at polling stations as early as 6:30, preparing for the opening of the polling stations at 7. At 1 p.m. Before they could start voting. In some places, when parts of the voting materials were delivered, like ballot boxes, there were no ballot papers. When ballot papers arrived, there was no register. So it was pretty chaotic, and people were quite agitated. Now, there is specific concern, because urban areas, and particularly Kampala, tend to favor the opposition. So there was a lot of anxiety as to what caused the most delays, where the headquarters of the Electoral Commission are, and yet all the materials for the rest of the country were dispatched from the headquarters, which is located in Kampala. So the districts of Kampala and Wakiso had the most challenges of the day. Of course, there were challenges elsewhere where ballot papers, especially, were swapped. Ballot papers for one constituency sent into a different constituency, and those for that constituency sent into another constituency. Maybe I need to bring you up to speed, Douglas and Sulaiman, that there was an incident in which the main opposition leader, Dr. Kizza Besigye, whom early results show is running a two-horse race with incumbent President Yoweri Museveni, was briefly detained after he and his team raided a place they said was being used to steal or stuff ballots.
Is your understanding that he has now been released and is at his home? Is that correct?
I am on the road, so I can't verify, but what I'm taking from social media is that, yes, he's indeed been released.
I see. Suleiman, let me bring you in here. You are not able to vote since you are far away, and the Ugandans in the diaspora don't vote. You just had Charles describe some of the problems in the urban centers, especially in Kampala area and Wakiso district. Do you think that's incompetence of the Electoral Commission, or there's something funny that people are accusing the commission of?
Douglas, we are very much aware that there are no perfect elections. And we are very much aware that so many elections in so many countries, such hiccups may arise. What raises concern in the Ugandan situation is the background at which it comes from. Because when you look at the whole campaigning process, much as the opposition leaders have tried to be as calm as possible, but when you compare the campaigning environment, when you compare to countries which have just had elections, late last year we had elections in Tunisia, we had election recently in Tanzania, we have just had an election in Central African Republic, two bouts of voting in Central African Republic, which is full of conflict. But what is so surprising is that the level of militarization, even in Central African Republic, is not as much as the way it is in Uganda. I think in Uganda, the whole political process has been over-militarized. While the Electoral Commission is supposed to be the one in charge of election, when you look at all the electoral processes, they are being manned by the head of police and his officers. They are the ones who determine when you can address the rally and when you cannot address the rally. They are the ones who determine which route you can take and which route you cannot take. They do not only follow the law, they make the law according to their wish. What I have observed is that throughout this campaign process, the Electoral Commission is so thin on the ground. If there is any electoral problem, if there is any campaign problem, it is not the Electoral Commission to answer, it is the police commissioner to answer. So that is why there is skepticism. And wherever the police officials have acted, they have acted in a partisan way. They have not been impartial. For example, what was the reason for arresting the leading opposition leader at the end of the campaign period? What is the problem with passing through the capital? He passed through the same capital when he was being nominated. Nobody died. No shop was broken into. Above all, which capital has not been passed through by politicians? Here, Johannesburg is one of the biggest towns, very busy towns. But politicians, the opposition, the ANC itself, now and again, they demonstrate through the capital without even permission by the police. The police just accompanies them to make sure that they go through the process very well. Cape Town the other day, the students just went abruptly without notice anybody. They marched through and nothing was destroyed. So why do the Ugandan police and security officials exaggerate issues as if the capital Kampala is the biggest in this world? I think it is partisan, and that is the environment, the negative environment that has brought suspicion that from the beginning they have been operating into a partisan way. They have been as if they are the ones who are conducting the elections. So when you get hiccups in the voting materials missing here and there, then all these things of arresting and detaining and releasing coming in, there is a lot of suspicion. That is why people are so nervous, and that is why people are so suspicious.
I see. We shall go back to the KB arrest, the rest of KZC later. But let me now welcome our other panelist, VOA's Sande Shumari, who is in Kampala, and he tells me he's at the Electoral Commission headquarters. Sande, good evening. Sande, are you there? I think we don't have Sande. Anyway, Charles, there are those who say the government seems to be a bit panicky in as far as handling the main opposition leader is concerned. including arresting him on polling day itself. What do you think?
No, I think this election has been a clear demonstration that government has been panicking. From the way the Electoral Commission has bungled up the event towards the end, the chairman of the Electoral Commission was quoted in newspapers, including the government-owned the New Vision newspaper, as having regretted having nominated Dr. Kizza Besigye and said, if the law allowed him a little more legroom, he wouldn't have nominated Dr. Kizza Besigye. So, evidently, there has been an element of panic. The police has also panicked significantly. They've rushed to bring up this whole group called the crime preventers. They've put them in police uniform. They've armed them. And yet they're not part of the regular police. They haven't explained that properly. So the arrest on Monday, for example, the second last day of official campaign period, was an act in panic. The arrest of Kizza Besigye today, I think also when he had gone to alert the police and said there's something wrong going on here, but from what we're hearing is that the people inside that building were actually policemen who were found with ballot papers. So all this shows the panic of not just the police as an institution, or not just government, but also the political party of President Yoweri Museveni, the National Resistance Movement, facing a major challenge that they hadn't anticipated from Dr. Kizza Besigye.
I see. I'm told now we have Sande. Sande, are you there? Hello, Sande Shumari.
Yes, I'm here.
Good evening.
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Hey.
Good evening. Good evening.
Where are you now? Where are you?
I am right here at the Electoral Commission, Uganda Electoral Commission, because the chairman had some information to us. So I was here trying to get that information.
He's still talking to us
because there's some information for some 14 polling stations. There have been some irregularities. And what is happening is he's saying some of those areas, the polling has been postponed and some of them suspended. So it means tomorrow there will be another group of people in 14 stations going to cast their vote again due to some kind of irregularities that happened. And I don't have all the details because he's still talking right now, trying to catch up with him and catch up with you. So once I have information, I can relate to you.
All right, so we shall get back to you in case you get more information before we end our program.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Charles, Suleiman, you wanted to jump in first before I got back, Charles?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, already the evidence is there. The critics have been vindicated from day one. The opposition leaders wanted the electoral reforms. They want to be part of the electoral system. They were not given chance to put in their input. Now here we are. Already 14 stations have been marred by irregularities and the voting has been suspended. That one shows already why the opposition leaders wanted to have an input to make the election process smooth. Now that the government decided to take it on its own, now that the government decided to take on an electoral commission which had already been declared by previous election by court action that the electoral commission itself was incompetent, let them eat their own cake, let them face the music as a government. Already the malpractices have already started, already the irregularities have started going on.
I see. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of the Uganda elections, and we shall look at more of these issues after this short break. Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America series here in Washington. Our topic tonight is Uganda elections. Our panelists are VOA's Sande Shomari, who is in Kampala, Charles Mwanguhia, Communications Director of the Citizen Coalition for Electoral Democracy in Uganda, and Suleiman Mugula, South African-based independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Washington. Charles, there have been reports we have heard from across the country of people finding pre-ticked ballot papers and that kind of thing. Was that widespread, or what did you gather from where you were?
I've only been listening in from different media. I am not in position to tell exactly what how widespread that was. We'll need to wait and see.
I see. Now, okay, let me tell you something you may even know. Today, the government, through the Uganda Communications Commission, shut down social media, WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook, citing security concerns.
Yes.
How did people take it, and why was it necessary to do that?
I think people have been pretty upset by that directive of by that action of the Uganda Communications Commission. They say they acted on instructions of the Uganda Electoral Commission to, as a preventive measure against to prevent one. Yes, sir. So they said they acted as a preventive action to avoid one people sending money to bribe voters, to buy voters. They also acted to avoid a lot of misinformation. Now, there are two things to this, Douglas. One is that truly, over the last few days, the days leading up to the election, there has been a lot of abuse of social media. People have been creating a lot of stories, a lot of false things running on social media. Is that justification for closing... my battery is running low. Shutting down social media entirely, I think that was an unfortunate action. The other thing is that somehow people were able to bypass the restrictions created by the Uganda Communications Commission and were still able to reactivate their social media.
Yes, we're going to call Charles on another line because it appears his battery has run down. But meanwhile, Suleiman, this is awkward, having a free, a democratic election, and then you shut down all social media and mobile money transfers and all that. Some people found it awkward.
Very awkward, especially for a government which has been in power for 30 years, for a government which prides itself for having stabilized the country, for a government which we believe, after 30 years, with all the confidence and pride with which Museveni and his government speak, should have had a free and fair, transparent, and free of coercion and pressure, just similar to Tanzania. That is what would one expect. The irony of it is as if now we are holding an election in 1980. We are holding an election in 1979. The conditions that are prevailing, they don't rhyme with what one would call a secure state. It seems there is a lot of insecurity more than what they allege to be. So that is what is ironical, because really if the country is stable, if everybody is happy, as far as the security of the people or the security of the country, the security of the country is manned by the people themselves. Mm-hmm. If the people are at peace, you don't need guns. We have seen people voting in Tanzania, we have seen people voting in the South African Republic. Why should you have an army, three barracks on the road in Kampala, everywhere? Mm-hmm. What is it for? If you are stable, if you have created stability and peace in the country, which means what he calls peace and stability is a facade. Instead, there is a lot of insecurity, either insecurity created for him by the government itself purposely to destabilize the situation so that they can be able to claim themselves in power, or for real, there is no actual security, but it's just a facade.
I see. Charles, I hope you're back.
Hello?
Yes, are you on? Charles,
Yes, I'm back on. When we went off,
yes.
something interesting was happening.
Uh-huh.
We've just been stopped on the road about 40 kilometers into the capital, Kampala.
Yes.
At a roadblock that's just been mounted by the military. And they took our vehicle through a thorough check. We also noticed that they are holding a number of motorcycle taxi riders known as border borders. So they're stopping vehicles and searching them, and then but they were able to let us through without asking any questions. So they subjected us to quite some bit of search.
So you're saying they're just stopping vehicles at random, or every vehicle is being stopped?
Every vehicle is being stopped.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you that the counting is being done after the polls close in some at the polling stations and results being announced. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
But what's going to do? The whole exercise is tallying all the votes. And from my colleague at the Electoral Commission, he says some polling stations where there was no polling, that exercise will continue tomorrow. So we don't expect results anytime soon.
No, we don't, especially with the disruptions that have happened. Once we come out individual tallies from polling stations, now individuals can be able to tabulate those and get an idea where this election might be going. We also said that there wasn't any major problem, that we will be able to get this. What we'll not be able to get until tomorrow will be national tallies to give us a broad idea, a broad picture of what the national result looks like.
I see. Suleiman, people have expressed concern always, regardless of whoever who wins, that the Electoral Commission says nobody is supposed to announce those results. That's the preserve of the commission itself. But people can independently tell the results from their own. Is there concern that maybe the Electoral Commission may not be so open?
Definitely. I mean, what has happened in Uganda is that there is a track record. First of all, we have to remember that from 1996, 2001, 2006, 2011, all elections in Uganda have been controversial. They have been contested. They have been allegations of rigging. Some have been verified in court. Others, even the judges, have come out to testify that actually the particular elections were supposed to be nullified. It was an error of judgment that the elections were not nullified. Or it is a lacuna in the law, that weakness is there within the law. Otherwise, as far as some of the elections are seen, there was enough evidence to show that the elections, there have been a lot of malpractice, the electoral law has been not followed, and so many. So as far as that is concerned, that is why people are trying to make a parallel tunnel so that they can be able to get substantial evidence. So remember, if you are to contest the election, the presidential election, there are very, very few days which are given for you to prove that there were irregularities. And so the people have to have a parallel tallying center, which is derived because they don't trust the Electoral Commission. And they have, not because they don't want to trust it, because it has been proven with evidence in the courts of law and with people's personal evidence that we did this and this to rig elections in favor of President.
Charles, given the way the Electoral Commission has bungled up some blundered in the last days of this election by failing to provide polling materials at the right time, and also given that the reforms that the opposition had called for a very long time, yeah, including your organization, never came up, how do you think people will take the results that will eventually be announced?
I think there was an opportunity for the Electoral Commission to vindicate itself against all the accusations leveled against it from mainly the opposition. One, like you said earlier, or the accusations of incompetence, two, the accusation of being partisan, and of course, yes, the argument they raised about whether electoral reform was necessary or not. But I think the Electoral Commission cannot be blamed entirely. It is weak. the government system entirely has to be looked at to ask, was it committed to, is it committed to a transparent, free and fair electoral process? Of course, we'll have to wait and see how this plays out when the final result gets announced. If the final results are able to come in time, you know, there's a constitutional limit, which to its credit, the Electoral Commission has upheld since the first election in 1996 by announcing or declaring the winner of the presidential election within the constitutional 48 hours. With all these delays, will that deadline still be met? We have to wait and see.
I see. Suleiman, last word.
Last word is that as far as Ugandans are concerned, they had lost faith in the Electoral Commission. They had lost faith in the voting process. You remember that in the last election, 2011, 42% of the voters stayed away. Actually, even according to the votes which he got 5.4 million, but the 6 million votes. But the people who stayed away were 5.6 million. So the people who stayed away, the eligible voters who decided to stay away, actually were more than the people who voted from 7.
Which
means that if those people were opposition people, they would have beaten him. He is aware, the government is aware, that is why it has put a lot of administrative and legal impediments,
mm-hmm.
even the environment. Holding of roadblocks, making the capital a war zone during voting is unacceptable. It doesn't augur well for a country which wants a free and fair election.
Okay,
we wish them the best of luck. Let's hope that at the end of the day, something will be passed out which will be acceptable to all the Ugandans.
Charles, in the last 10 seconds or 15 seconds, did this heavy deployment of security forces on the streets of Kampala especially have an impact on people's turnout or deciding to vote or not vote?
Well, I'm not worried about the deployment before, because even if people turned out in large numbers, so the heavy deployment did not deter them from going to the polls. What disrupted them is very reaching polling stations and not finding what was necessary for them to cast their ballot and express themselves. The deployment that worries me is the deployment after the polls, like the one I've just told you about, exactly 47 kilometers out of Kampala.
I see.
And of course, as I move towards Kampala, mm-hmm. I expect to find more deployment.
Well, let's hope and pray that everything goes fine, and we don't expect results until maybe tomorrow or the other day. Well, that wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to viewers Shanda Shumari, Suleiman Mugula, the South African-based independent political analyst. And thank you, Charles Mwanguhia, Communications Director of the Citizen Coalition for Electoral Democracy in Uganda. Gentlemen, thanks a lot.
Very much. A pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our producer tonight was Jackson Mvunganya, and our engineer was Skip Sisk. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.